Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I can see that. Hit it.
You're back from Europe, and we're back on. So
yeah, that's how fast life changes, doesn't it?
I know. Last time we talked, you were on the French Riviera, and now you're just looking at your.
I'm in Redneck Riviera in Lake Ozark.
So you were telling me, you told me a lot of stuff when the microphone's not rolling, so we won't divulge.
That's right.
Too much about the trip. But we were talking about the food over there in France, and I for one can't believe every time you sent me a text that you were like eating at Burger King, eating at McDonald's, why
now,
would
that
you
wasn't
to
every time, but there was a lot of times. That's where we ended up.
I don't get that. Why?
Well, first of all, a lot of French restaurants, especially your finer French restaurants, they're only open till every table is seated, and then they close the doors. So,
okay.
if it only holds 200 people, they open the doors at 7, and when all those 50 tables are filled or whatever, they shut the door. So you can't. You know what I mean? So there'll be big lines, and if you're number 202 in line and there's only 200 seats, you just ain't getting to eat there. And they'll line up 5:30 or 6 for restaurants that's gonna open at 7 or 7:30 for the real good ones.
Really?
And then
okay. They'll
only have, all the whole menu will be on one page. You'll have two or three appetizers, three or four main courses, three or four desserts and 50 wines.
So it's one of those places that the menu changes daily, and that's why they only let somebody.
They've got a couple steak deals, a couple pasta deals, a couple chicken deals, and that's it. And then some of them are even more limited. Some of the even nicer ones, they've got like three things, and everybody. You know, if you want to eat steak, you're going to go to this restaurant. If you're going to eat chicken, you're going to go to this restaurant. If you're going to eat fish, you're going to go to this restaurant. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. But I still don't know why McDonald's.
Because shit closes. And then, like, I'm going to give you a prime example. D-Day, right. Day before D-Day, we are in Normandy. We spent half the day at the National Cemetery jacking around. Going to Omaha Beach, going to museums, going to whatever, and we go to this little right below Pointe de Hawkers or whatever town, French town, right on the coast, right. I mean, we're right there in one of the little towns that the British or the U.S. soldiers ran through. You know what I mean? And we're taking pictures. We go sit down, and my brother says, "Hey, we'll sit down. Let's go to this place." Well, first two places we went, they said we're closed. And when I say they're closed, it's 12:45 or 1 o'clock, and they've got 35 people sitting out on the balcony or out on the deck. We're closed. And those were the kind of restaurants that once everybody's seated, you know, they're going to serve. And I think the theory from their perspective is that way they have a laissez-faire. Remember that from your eighth grade international studies class attitude, and they're just not going to kill themselves all day, right? So they're going to be open at 3 or 4 hours, and then everybody, and then their people get otherwise, if you have to work a long time, your people never get to go home and hang out on Sunday or does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
So we finally get to this place that's open, and the places, and we sit at a high top. Anyway, we sit there for about 40 minutes. So finally, my brother says, screw these people, let's go. And I go to pay for our drinks, and the guy says, why, in trying to get in America, why is he upset? I said, he wanted to eat. Well, why did you sit on a drink table? And that's when I found out, and then I researched the next day, too. If you sit at a high table, high top, they don't expect you to order food. They don't even serve food to high tops. You got to sit at a low top. A high top's a drinking table.
They've never been to like an Applebee's or BW.
They don't have. You can't even say, you know, that's exactly what I tried to explain to this guy. And he said, you know what? You're not in America, buddy.
They never even bothered to say.
And I said, you know what? You're not in Germany, thanks to my dead great grandparents. So, and you know what? They would have let me. They would have served me at a high top. So you end up going over to McDonald's or Burger King, and let me tell you, it's not like Burger King or McDonald's in the States. First of all, they'll be one of the biggest lines I've seen it waiting was at the McDonald's by my hotel in Nice. Okay. I'm in a kind of an older neighborhood in Nice, 550 yards from the beach. And I run down and I ask the struggling Al Qaeda member where the closest sandwich shop was. And he said, well, McDonald's right there. So I tell my brother, looks like McDonald's it is. And we walk over there, and there was 50 people in line. And they don't take – you can't walk to the counter like you do in the States. You know how you got electronic kiosks here at McDonald's where you got to pick your food out? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. 100% of McDonald's and Burger King, that's the way you do it. And I've got my truck driving brother that just says, you know, if I wanted to work, he's trying to tell these people in American, and they don't care. Hey, if I wanted to work at McDonald's, I'd work at McDonald's. You got me doing your work. And so you wait a long time. The small drink over here, the king size drink over there is like our medium. And then if you want ice, it's extra. And then if the ice thing's out, you don't get it. They put tomatoes on your sandwich over there, which I don't particularly mind, but my brother bothers him for some reason. But what they do have is they'll have, you know, over here, they can't find help. Over there, they'll have 40 kids in that, 40 teenagers in McDonald's. It was like it was in the 80s when we were growing up, or not, you know, 80s, let's just say. There's 40 kids working as fast and hard as they can back here in the McDonald's and Burger King's over there.
Well, if they got 50 people in line, you better have that much help.
Uh-huh.
How good are they if there's 50 people in line, though? Or do they not treat it as like fast food?
It's not fast food over there. I mean, those people are there, you know. This is what I think, not what I know.
They're there for American cuisine. Hmm? They're there for American cuisine.
Yes.
It's probably the way to look at it. Yeah.
Yes. And they don't eat it 4 or 5 times a week. That's their night out. You've seen whole families there. Uh-huh.
Well,
you know what I mean? That's their night out.
Look, when I was growing up, that was our night out. That was like our.
Yeah. Food. Oh, yeah.
You know, like I remember when a Wendy's opened up like the next town over, like 20 miles away. You thought it was we were going to a fancy steak house.
Hey, when I was a kid, we only got to go out when we picked up enough aluminum cans or bottles for returns to save the money to go there.
Speaking of that Wendy's, I remember, and maybe do you remember the tables in the Wendy's that used to have the old time advertisements on used to think that was the greatest thing ever to sit there and enjoy my Wendy's meal and read all those advertisements. I thought, man, I'm really doing like I'm experiencing something a lot of my friends aren't experiencing. And I was just eating fast food.
It really bothered my brother. You know, my brother tries to eat a steak every day of the week.
I knew I liked him for some reason.
Okay. Now, I ate like that in my 20s. I just don't do it now. Okay. And it so he didn't care if he was going to spend $50, right?
Yeah.
He didn't care. But he couldn't get it a lot of times because the way the timing was, and our, you know, our internal clocks are messed up. You know, I only ate twice. You know, me and him only ate about twice a day. Now, see me, they make these chicken sandwiches over there, and this big piece of hard bread. The breads are really hard, right? And my brother says that's because they last longer or something. I don't really understand. But these French breads are real hard. So you'd walk in, and I used to eat all the time when I used to work over there. You know, it's about 12, 15-inch long piece of bread. They cut it down the middle. They put some cheese and some, you know, kind of like a mayonnaise mustard combination. I don't know what it's called. You know, it's their kind of mustard, you know.
Dijon. And,
yeah, Dijon. Something like that. And chicken breast, and that's about it. Cheese, and sometimes you can get a little lettuce and tomato, more usually tomato, not necessarily lettuce. And I eat them. You know, me and him, first couple of days, you know, we'd get it cut in half, and that's all we'd eat. You know, me and him, we ate for $25 a day, $30 a day. Some days when my teenager was spending $100.
Holy moly.
You know, 50, 60, you know, him and another kid was, you know, hanging out in Paris, eating all this fancy stuff. And me and my brother were eating at Wendy's. Right. But then again, you know, we got to go to the F1, you know, I think I sent you something, didn't I, from the F1 and F2 time trials. I mean, we went to Monaco a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
We were Mont Blanc. I mean, me and my brother did a lifetime trip where my kids, they just sat around and acted like every French teacher they ever had taught them, and sit around the Eiffel Tower and eat crepes and shit, you know?
So how was the flight back? I still don't know that I could get in an airplane for that long.
You know, I haven't flown that long. I was trying to think, rack my brain. I haven't been over there that long. I haven't, you know, I used to do it a lot, and I was stringing probably five years since I've been on an international flight. And it, I don't want to say it killed me, but it was not, for some reason, it really bothered me. Not necessarily going, but coming back. Now, going, I think, first of all, I got me and my son's seat side by side, but then he didn't want to sit by me. He wanted me to switch my seat with his buddy from high school who was odd man out. Does that make sense? So instead of me sitting by my kid, who I would say, hey, I sat by the window, and instead of having my son, who it wouldn't bother me telling him to get his ass out of his seat because I got to go potty. Because I go, you know, I pee a lot because I'm on water pills, as you guys know what that is, if you're my age. And anyway, I had this dude, some stranger next to me that seemed put out.
Every time he had to go to the bathroom.
I only got up twice, I think, is when he had to go up. And I don't remember what he was talking to me about. He was kind of an odd deal. He was an American. He was going to Portugal, and he was complaining about it.
What was he complaining about?
He was complaining that he worked for a, and I'm trying to remember, I know where he used to work, and I'm trying to remember where he works now. He was up and coming techie of some sort, because he was explaining to me how this company was going to be the real deal, and he wasn't making a lot of money because he was getting stock options in a cyber company.
In exchange for actual cash.
Yes, and I just did not have the heart to explain to him that you, as crappy as cash is, it's always better to eat than stock options. Right? I mean, because I was raised that the world is, and I try not to cuss on our podcast, but the world is a shit sandwich. The more bread you have, the less shit you eat. Unfortunately, kids aren't trained that. So he was explaining to me how smart he was in this cybersecurity company that he was an outside salesman for, and with his stock options, and God bless him. So the company made them, he had to essentially go, he had a 4-day trip. He was continuing on from Paris to Lisbon, and he was going to sit in Lisbon for two or three days and then fly home. And he was complaining about it because it was about an hour meeting for two or three days, you know, an hour each day that he's there. He could have done a couple hours over Skype.
Yeah, which I don't look, I get into that with, you know, I don't get into it, but I get that in that discussion with some of the people I know that their business requires them to travel. And I'm like, just to go meet customers. I'm like, doesn't even make any sense anymore. Why would you go do that when you could do it over Skype? And, you know, like Christie's had to, you know, has to do that with some of her business. And it's like, some people, they just want to see people face to face.
Well, and I think that's part of it. And the other part of it, yeah, they probably drink a lot, eat a lot, and they want to see, you know, if you're who they think you are. Does that make sense? I mean, if all yes. you've got to do is maintain your composure for a 45-minute Skype call, I mean, I could have been, I don't want to say the president, but I could have been more if all I had to do was behave for 45 minutes at a whack.
Is that another right? 7 hours and 15 minutes that you were on the clock that you couldn't?
Yes, it's having to, you know, I had a dude that told me one day, and normally when I tell the story back home here around old cops that know who these old guys are, right? One of them's dead and the other one is rode off into the sunset. And I always say, so-and-so told so-and-so, and he told me, in your career, you're going to have the opportunity to say a lot of things to a lot of people. Just don't. And it's hard to live by that when you're in person, right?
So you have the opportunity to say a lot of things to a lot of people. Just don't.
Yes, just don't. Meaning, when you're there with these people, even though you think you...
Is that like the upside down Nike? Like the upside down saying, Nike hey, symbol?
That's what he's saying. You're going to be around a lot of people and you can say a lot of shit, and they probably, one, don't care, and two, you know, the problem I have is my mind does not work like other people's, right? So my signal is not always received the way I want it to be received.
I get that totally. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And it's taken to me till I was 50 years old to realize that. And then sometimes, this is another thing that's got me, that hamstrings me in person, is, you know, for entertainment purposes, I might say some crazy stuff, right? Or if people seem offended, I'll be honest with you. About a month ago, I was in an interview situation with some people that... were totally unprepared. Two of the three were totally unprepared to even be sitting at a table with me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
First of all, they showed up without a suit and tie. And I don't know why, and as an old man, that bothers me. But I've got one on, right?
So they should at least.
So freaking they should have had one on. And I know the two of them wasn't wearing one. The younger two wasn't wearing them because they're cool people, and cool people don't have to, right?
I guess, if that's in their mind.
You know what I mean? In their mind, they're cool people, so they don't have to. So right off the bat, I don't care much for them because they didn't take the opportunity to even... I mean, it's completely disrespectful, right? Because I think in their head, they expected me to be wearing one, but they don't have to wear one. And as we're progressing down this thing, the road gets a little bumpy because this girl gets kind of snarky with me. Okay?
Yeah.
And I was asked a question if I knew anybody in their organization. And I said, yeah, I mean, back in the old days, what do you mean? And I named the person, their organization, I named the number one person in their organization. And then they looked at each other and they looked at me, and the one guy says, the no tie guy with the cool kid pants on says, was there anybody else? And I said, you want me to go there? And he goes, well, yeah, if you can. And I said, so-and-so. And it was that person's boss appointed by the governor. Both of them were appointed by the governor, but.
Huh? So what did they have to say to that?
They didn't have much to say. They never talked to me again after that. But I did talk to their boss. I talked to both of them. I talked to both the big bosses. Their boss and then their boss's boss. Well, a couple days later.
And what did they have to say?
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A different thing. Well, I can't really tell you about it on the podcast, but anyway. So all that's to say is I said some shit that I didn't need to say just because I think they were punks. And so
I think everybody listening just cheered at what you had to say because you got to do something that probably a lot of people don't have the opportunity or know the people that they can well enough that they can, you know, go explain to somebody in charge.
Now, hold on a second. At the end of the day, I did not get chosen for what I was there to be chosen for. Okay. And part of the reason why I didn't get chosen is because I think it's because of that. But my attitude with them because it, just because of the way I treated them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So going into person meetings as opposed to Zoom, because in Zoom meeting, I could have had the same meeting and I wouldn't have bothered me that they were not in a tie because they're on freaking Zoom for Christ's sake.
Well, not to,
the only thing bothers me more than the Zoom, than not having a tie on is no the pants. Two cool kids had them tactical pants, you know, like the tactical pants they watch people on TV have.
For a job interview?
Uh-huh. They were interviewing me for a position that I walked in that room thinking I had without calling the director. Uh-huh. And it just bothers the shit out of me when these guys wear them tactical pants in a situation, in almost any situation. I'll be honest with you.
That doesn't require you to be tactical.
Well, you know, yes, because pants don't make the person, right? I mean, just because you're wearing a cool guy pants don't mean you're a cool guy. And somebody told me before this, said, do not overwhelm them. because they will be put off. That was what I was told before this meeting. Do not overwhelm them because they will be put off.
Well, if you're interviewing for a job and you can overwhelm the people interviewing you, shouldn't they then say, man, this guy needs to be.
No, because that's not the way it works.
I know, but that's the way it should.
That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. So I purposely refrained until I could see the road was getting bumpy. And then, you know what? I'm going to light this fire. You know what I mean?
You're going to go down in a blaze of glory.
Yes. When I use the term gather human intelligence at the source. Okay.
They didn't know what it meant.
They didn't. I think that one of them wanted to get a thesaurus out or a dictionary to see what I meant by human intelligence. And the other one was trying to figure out what he meant, what I meant by exploit.
Well, what I wanted to say was, referring back to A Blaze of Glory, is people really enjoyed the story about the chicks catching on fire.
I almost said it was, what was it, immolation? Is that when you set yourself on fire like the monks do? I was trying to think of what you can, like a spontaneous combustion or something, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I almost said immolation. Isn't that what it's called? I don't know. I'll have to Google it up.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. That's a terrible story. Why'd they like that one too much?
You know what? I think it was, listen, okay, so Phil, who has been helping produce the stuff, is right now, like, through the end of the week, teaching down at a school outside of Atlanta. And he said, now he may have been exaggerating for the sake of, you know, of entertainment, but I was sitting there putting up my mail route, my phone goes off. I looked down and Phil had sent me a text on his morning commute and said he had to literally pull over because he was laughing so hard at that story.
So, about the little baby chicks.
About the little baby chicks.
And the correct term would have been spontaneously combustion or spontaneous ignition is often called, is the occurrence of fire without the application of an external heat source. That's not true, because this had, the little chicks had a heat source, the heat lamp.
Yeah, but I think it's saying, like, without being doused in gasoline and a match thrown on it is probably what that means. You know,
I'm just trying to figure out why Phil got such a kick out of those little baby chicks burning
well,
up.
Well, because Phil's, the whole
homestead on fire.
Phil's very twisted. That's why we
catching the whole homestead on fire. Blowing, you know, when you think about it, that could be, if I had a little 30-minute TV series, I could just make a little TV show out of each one of these little short, you know.
Ask Phil. I said, Phil, if we could just animate that 3-minute story, I go, can you imagine like a South Park type cartoon of these little chick legs with a ball of flame on top of it just hopping?
Well, then,
hopping into the dog box.
Really, when you get to thinking about it, what a better way to, you know, I mean, if you were, you know, Sons of Anarchy type stuff, right? And you want to burn dude's house on fire and he had little chicks, you can just turn the heat up on them, right? And just throw them in there or something like that. And what are they going to do? Blame the little birds?
That's like mafia stuff. Like, how are we really going to screw this guy over? We're going to set his chicks on fire.
Yeah, we're going to set his chicks on fire, and they're going to run in there, and they're going to get the whole thing.
All I could think about was that one poor pheasant chick that we got left sitting under the heat lamp, and him spun, because he's jumping now, like he's trying to jump out.
You
got to
back the heat up a little bit, make it higher away or something.
I don't even know. We're just lucky that we got to. Here's the problem is I don't know what we're going to do with this one chick, okay? We can't hardly keep it in this crate, and we're trying to find a dog kennel, like you suggested, so we can get it out there and start catching bugs. But it doesn't matter. As soon as we let it loose, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's just going to be a bite-sized meal for something. I mean,
probably. How's one? You got any cats around your house? A cat will kill that thing first night.
No, we don't have cats. I don't believe in cats. I just, you know, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get on the cat stories I got because I'll get canceled for sure. My 14 fans will. I got like 18 followers, and I'm sure half of them are cat people.
I just can't get into cats. Sorry, I know, and I know.
Well, I appreciate cats. You know what I mean? But cats are killers. And I mean, if you're a bird person, you can't be a bird person, be a cat person, because cats are absolute killers of birds.
Yeah, yeah,
and rabbits in small game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I don't like the fur. I just the fur. My allergies are so bad in that fur. And then the fur. I mean, I can't even get into it.
Well, some of them fancy cats are bald. I'm talking the four-legged ones.
Oh, that's terrible. But anyway, we did get a lot of great feedback on the. On the bird burning. I don't know why. We have some sick, twisted fans. I mean, it's the way it is.
I'm trying to think right off the top of my head here as I'm surfing definitions, burn definitions. I probably got two or three crazy fire stories.
Well, let's get another crazy fire story before we sign off, because I think our next episode, we're going to have a fan. We got a fan that wants to join us.
I had a buddy of mine call me one day. I was working. I don't remember where I was coming to. You know, it's a guy that I talk to quite regularly now because I moved back home, but he's a politician and a lobbyist and like a no-kidding registered lobbyist on a national scale. But anyway, he calls me in a panic one day and says, you know so-and-so. And I said, nope. And he goes, oh, yeah, you do. And you know, I moved away from home, you know, obviously 20 some years ago, right? And now that I've moved back, everybody thinks I never left. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, well, yeah, you do. And I said, no, I don't. Well, you know, he's so-and-so. So we go down this whole thing and I said, okay, so what's all? Well, he's killing people. And I said, huh? Well, he's killing people. I said, what do you mean he's killing people? And he goes, well, you know, so-and-so. And I said, yeah, what killed him? And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm scared to go home. This guy might be after me. And I said, well, if he killed someone, who'd all he kill? And he said, well, he went to this house. And this is no kidding. I don't think I'm going to mention the guy's name, the shooter's name. But he was a ringleader in a local crime syndicate. Think redneck crime syndicate, right?
Yep. All right.
And one of the big things, now this is seven, eight years ago before diesel fuel is the way it is now. Okay. And somehow they were, one of their things was skimming diesel fuel. One of them drove a big 18 wheeler, dead dude victim number one, drove an 18 wheeler full of fuel. And he would deliver to these gas stations every day on this route. Okay. And somehow he was underfilling all of these stations. So, you know, say he's skimming, you know, and I'm making up stuff, but whatever he's skimming, you know what I mean? He's skimming 100 gallons from 10 stations a day. That's 1,000 gallons at the end of his route he's got left in that big truck, you know?
Gotcha.
And they were offloading it in a fuel bladder in a stock trailer. Here we go, redneck, right? They had a fuel bladder in a stock trailer, and then they would fill these guys up for a couple bucks a gallon in cash, right?
Okay.
That was just one of the things. But really what screwed the whole end up is, and then they'd do some daylight burglaries, and they stole this Grasshopper, some kind of, it's Grasshopper's brand name, some kind of fancy zero-turn mower.
Yep, I know, yeah.
And then he sold it to this guy through this fencing dude, you know, let's call it a fence, you know, the old fashioned fence. And somebody paid somebody in a check, and that's where they got screwed up. Because when the cops found out, cops arrested a guy, you know, got the mower back. Where'd you get it? I got it from this guy. Are you sure? Yeah. How do you know? Well, I paid him in a check. Okay. So all that's to say is when the whole crime syndicate started falling apart, they and the dead dude, victim number one, is a little older than us, right? So at this time, he's in his mid-40s, and what he's doing is he's buying a lot of stolen, allegedly, he's dead. We don't know what all he did. Allegedly, he's buying stolen stuff from these late teen, early 20-year-old guys that are going out in the country and just stealing during the day, right?
Okay.
You know, they're stealing whatever they're stealing, like grasshopper zero-turn mowers or four-wheelers or side-by-sides or whatever, okay? So they decide they're going to lean on this kid and tell him to shut up and keep his mouth closed. He was raised by his grandpa, and his grandpa's house burnt down. Suspiciously. And that was a shot over the bow to tell this kid, you need to shut up and take the heat on this, but do not tell the cops, because the cops were trying to ask this guy, I guess when they arrested him, the cops asked him, you know, what all he had, what he was doing with it, you know, give us the bigger fish kind of deal, right? And the big fish supposedly burnt grandpa's house down. So when he bonds out of jail, he comes home and, you know, usually these kids that are being raised by their grandparents kind of got a rocky road to start off with anyway, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He gets out of jail and grandpa's house burnt down. So he goes, so there's actually two fires and four killings in this story, okay? So victim number one and three burnt grandpa's house down. So shooter goes over to victim number three's house, and he ain't home. So, and it's a big old palatial log cabin, custom log cabin on about 240 acres, set up on a hill. You know how people that build those kind of houses build them, right? Gastineau's a brand name, big old Gastineau. And he wasn't home, but his feed truck was there, and he had a big old one-ton Power Stroke Ford dually with a feed bed, you know what? The feed bed with the feeder in the right behind the cab, and then the bale bed, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He loads a round bale in his dude's truck, lights the whole thing on fire, and drives it through the garage door of this $500,000 log home.
Okay.
So victim number three and one, they're not victims yet. They call the law and try to get the law on this kid for doing all this stuff. So this kid goes over one night in the middle of the night, and, you know, you're out in the country, people don't lock their house. I started locking my house after this story. So he goes in there with the AR-15, not in 223. He actually did it in 6.8 SPC, which is the only person, the only killing I ever knew that had that crazy round. He goes in and stitches victim one and his wife up in the middle, and they're laying in bed, and they get both of them get shot a half a dozen times.
He gets
And then he drives over. So you remember victim number three whose house burnt down?
Yeah.
So he's living in his gooseneck camper, you know, big ass triple slide gooseneck, you know how big old RV would look, plugged into his barn, you know, because he's still taking care of his farm. His just house is a burnt remain right there. You know what I mean? So the dog starts barking. So doing like any good redneck, he sends his wife out to see what was going on, and he shoots her in the neck.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
But she actually survives, but hillbilly victim number three looks out the window and he starts shooting at him through the RV slide window. Funk, 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 funk. And in your camper, let me tell you something, a camper ain't going to stop many rounds. And then he got in there and finished the job. So where he screwed up is the girl that he shot through the neck, victim number three's wife, she survived and was able to at least call 911 from the barn phone. She couldn't talk because she had a bullet wound through her neck, but they sent the cops out. You know how enhanced 911 works. There's a 911 call, an open line. They send somebody out there. So anyway, the suspect... So my buddy calls me and he says, dude, this guy's killed at least three people. And I said, I'm worried he's going to kill me. And I said, well, then don't go home. It's pretty simple, right? He's like, I'm serious. And I said, I am too. If you really think you're on this guy's hit list, don't go home. Right? How simple is that? Right? And, but anyway, the shooter went down to the river access, Missouri River, which would be like the equivalent of the Ohio River down where you're at. And what he wanted to do was drive down the boat ramp and shoot himself in the head and have the water river carry the car away. And he would just be missing forever, you know, cause they had a big manhunt looking for him, you know? And as the water swallowed up his car, he lost his nerve and he crawled out and ended up getting caught, you know, kind of combination, get caught, give yourself up. The guns and the car washed away, never to be found again.
Holy moly.
But my favorite part of the fire story is when I used to tell that story, when they said Vic Grandpa's house burnt, and they said you could put it in a 5-gallon bucket with what's left of it. You know what I mean? But then when that kid went over and took the feed truck with the L-shaped diesel tank underneath the feed bed with a full round bale of hay and drove it in that big 4,000 square foot thing, they said you could put that house in a coffee can when he got done with it. So... Anyway, them little chickens ain't seen nothing compared to some redneck crime syndicate. So, that which is another reason why I don't watch Ozark, because, you know, Ozark's were popular. My wife wanted me to watch it, and I was like, I've seen it firsthand. This TV show ain't got nothing on the real deal. I mean, Marty would have done rolled up all the Mexicans in the first season. You'd have had about 3 episodes.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time. Never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.